I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go. Father
God, I am from the Lighthouse Chapel International. Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
In Jesus' name, amen. All right, hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? Well, we thank God. I want you to keep telling everybody that church is back, amen, and that we are back to our normal services, and there is no need to stay away from church anymore, amen. We are back and we are continuing. Everybody's nightclubs are back. Why shouldn't the church be back? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Or you think coronavirus does not see at night? No. They open the clubs. We need to open the house of God. And we need to get back into worship. Amen. Now, today is Honor Your Prophet Sunday. Amen. Yeah. And it's a blessing. It's one of the most important Sundays in the church because it comes with an opportunity for a very unique blessing. Amen. Now, Honor Your Prophet Sunday was originally called Galatians 6:6 Sunday. And Galatians 6:6 says, let him, Galatians 6:6, please, let's put that on the screen. Let me make a little connection there. Galatians 6:6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Amen. Let him that is taught in the word communicate with him that teacheth all in all good things. Amen. Now, that word communicate doesn't mean send him a text message or call him on the phone, but rather it means you must share. Amen. That means communication is sharing. Sharing all good things with the person who teaches you. Amen. In this church, we have our pastor who is our founder and who is the one who has raised us and he has taught us and continues to teach us week after week, books, tapes, different things that he has done to keep the church as it is, to keep it together as one big global family. Hallelujah. It's not easy to have one church. Did you know that? Yes. It's not easy to have one church. You try to have even a cell group. Yes. Yes. A bus center. Or a center. You get it? Or a was center, which only requires people to turn on their internet. And you see that it's not easy to have one church. Amen. But it takes extra good leadership to have churches that multiply and spill over into the thousands and go across nations, all of us still together as one big family. Amen. Amen. And that is a gift and a grace that we must recognize and celebrate. Hallelujah. And when we honor such greatness and such goodness of God expressed in someone, then such things will also begin to happen in our lives. Hallelujah. One day yours might not be a church. You might have a business that goes across the borders of your country. Amen. You might have a business that multiplies and goes into other states, and you're going to have clients and people calling you from all over the place. Can you ship me a couple of your goods, a couple of whatever you're selling? Can you ship it to me? You should believe, you should be saying amen. You're saying, Pastor, well, what I do is to fix people's hair. I don't see how I can ship that across. No, you'd be surprised that people will be flying you across to their state to just come and fix their hair. You're the only one who touches their hair. Yes, it is possible. Yes. I met somebody the other day who was telling me that he's the one who cuts the hair of someone important. You know, and he said the person flies him over every 2 weeks to cut his hair. Yeah. You know, yeah, people have jobs, you know. Yes, he flies over every 2 weeks to cut that person's hair because he's the only one who's allowed to touch his hair. Do you understand? So I'm saying that we must honor greatness and honor great things when God brings it near us. Amen. And fortunately, we have a book here which talks about those who honor, and is one of the books in the Loyalty and Disloyalty series. And today I want to share with you from chapter 1. Amen. And the title is Honor Relationships. Honor Relationships. Amen. Tell someone, honor relationships. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says in Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. It says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Amen. It says, render therefore to all their dues. That means give to everyone what is due them, isn't it? Yes. Render therefore to all their dues. Okay. And then it says, you must render tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Amen. Amen. Now that means that we are supposed to give people what is their due. People are due things. Amen. People are due things. One of the main principles that governs life and work especially is that people are given what they are due. Do you see? That's why people get up and go to work. People go to work, they earn Linda. Wow. People go to work, they earn their wages, they earn salaries, and you have to give it to them. Do you understand? Yes, you have to give it to them. And you cannot say you will not give it to them. That's one thing they are entitled to. They came, they worked, you must give it to them. It is their due. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. And so different people are due different things. And the Bible says, give to everyone what is their due. If it belongs to them, let them have it. Hallelujah. And that is very important. So when we talk about honor, we are talking about high esteem, right? High esteem and great respect. Okay? Now, the Bible says we must pay tribute to people who are due tribute. So that's how the government gets their taxes, because it is due them. Do you see what I'm saying? And nobody argues with them, isn't it? Yeah. Nobody argues with them. And everybody knows it belongs to them. Custom to whom custom, and then fear to whom fear. It means some people are due fear. Do you get it? Like the police. They are due fear. You must show respect. Yesterday, I was driving, I think when I was going home from outreach, there was this long line, slow-moving traffic. And I was just wondering, what is going on? What is going on? And then, you know, it starts to ease up a little bit, and then it was easing up a little bit. And then as I got to the front, I realized there was nothing except a police officer who had parked his vehicle on the side. You get it? And then he was being given fear. Do you get it? Yes, fear to whom fear is due, that you don't drive recklessly around here. Everybody take your time. We all took our time and rendered fear to whom fear is due. And what's interesting is right after him, then everybody starts to express themselves. Everybody starts to express themselves fully. Do you see? So it is important that we do that. Now, when you don't give honor to people who deserve honor, what ends up happening is the opposite, which is that you despise them. Right? When you despise someone, it means you don't take any notice of the person. You see, yeah, to despise someone doesn't just mean treating them badly, you know, but it means pushing them to the side. That's doing them despite. Do you get it? Like when someone is speaking and you say, despite this, you mean in spite of this. It means regardless of this. Do you see what I'm saying? This does not matter. Doesn't mean anything. That's what it means when we despise people. Now, when you despise people, especially people that you should be honoring or people who have been good to you, that is a very dangerous thing to do, because the Bible talks about the fact that when you do not do good, or when you respond to good with evil, Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 13. Look at that. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 13. Have you found that? Proverbs 17 and verse 13, it says, whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. Can you see that? Anybody who pays back good with evil, someone has been good to you, someone has been kind to you, and then you pay back the person with evil, with unkindness, with wickedness. The Bible says when you do that, evil will never depart from your house. That means you will always have some drama going on in your life that is caused by, or that tends towards evil. Do you understand? Yes, it means evil. If evil will not depart from your house, it means evil will come and live in your house. Yes. And sometimes you wonder, you hear even stories about sometimes families or people who always seem to be experiencing some misfortune or something terrible is happening all the time. It is because, or it could be because, evil has made its abode in their house or in their lives. He says, evil will never leave your life if you pay back good with evil. And because we tend to forget, sometimes we need to err on the side of being too good. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, you try to be good to people because you may not even remember the good that they have done for you. And then the other thing is that sometimes someone is good to you, but you are either too young or immature to appreciate what the person has done. You don't even know the value of what the person has done. I think I told you before, one day someone gave me a pen. It was a pen. And I think I still have it. I still have it because I happened to be going through an airport one day. And while I was waiting for my flight, I walked into one of the shops and I saw that same pen. And when I saw the price, you know, I determined I needed to go home quickly. I couldn't get home quickly enough. I needed to get home quickly, find my pen, and put it in the right place, you know, because I didn't know the value, you know, and I just thought he had given me a pen, and I was just thinking, you know, these days you hardly write anything, so I don't, who needs a pen? That's what I thought. But when I saw the value of what he had given me, it meant so much to me, and I had to keep it. So sometimes what has been done to you or done for you, you do not know the real value of it, and therefore you do not appreciate it like you should. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so you need to remember, you need to remember and recollect things that people have done for you, people who have been a blessing, people who have been a help to you at certain junctions and crossroads of your life. And because of what they did, be determined never to be a source of pain for such people. Are you understanding me? There's another verse I think you should see, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 7. Hebrews 6. And verse 7. This passage, you can't forget it at all. Hebrews 6, 7, 8. You get it? Hebrews chapter 6, 7, and verse 8. This one says, "For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh often upon it," right? "And bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from the Lord." Now, I know it's saying drinketh and receiveth, but just keep it that way for now. Just go back to the first one again. It's verse 7. Yes. "The earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it." Do you understand that? Do you understand this first part of it? "The earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed." That means it brings forth a useful return to those that dress it, isn't it? Those that work on it. Do you see? It says, that earth receiveth blessing from God. Amen. So a person whose life returns blessing to the one who put it together, the one who dressed it, the one who helped it, the one who looked after it. Do you see? It says, when your life is a source of blessing, you see, and flavors. You see, it says herbs, right? When your life returns blessing to those who have helped you and who have been a blessing to you, the Bible says that life receives blessing from God. Amen. Amen. That means you will be blessed. God blesses you when you return good with good. When you return good, with pleasure, with pleasantness, God blesses your life. Amen. Now, verse 8 says, "But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected." That means the earth that receives rain and receives good, but it becomes a source of pain. You see, it's bearing thorns and briars. You see, it says he's rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Amen. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
He says that earth is nigh, that means near cursing. in the arena of curses, in the neighborhood of curses. Do you see? Yes. And the end of that person, he says, the end of that earth is to be burned. Most of what is on it is burned, which is true. When you have a piece of land and it rains and rains and rains, and all it produces are weeds and thorns and so on, nobody goes there to harvest anything. They just light it up one day and they just burn it. And sometimes you see, even when it catches fire on its own, there's no effort to stop it. There's just an effort to control the fire from spilling to places where there are better things, where there are houses and there are good things, and there's much life going on there. We don't want this fire to come there, but it's okay. The fire can just be here. And it can burn as much of the thorns as possible. Do you see? So it shows you that we need to be very, very careful. Amen. We need to be very careful how we treat people, how we relate with people, because when people have been good to us and we return their goodness with wickedness, with unreasonableness, we become a source of pain to those people. The Bible says our lives are cursed. Amen. Our lives are cursed, or our lives are nigh unto cursing. Our lives are in the region and about being cursed. Can I have an amen? Whose end is not glorious? The end is to be burned. Useless. Chaff, it's to be burned. Hallelujah. So we all need to be careful with how we relate with people who have been good to us. Can I have an amen? We as a church need to be careful with how we relate with someone who laid aside his profession and decided to be a pastor at a time when being a pastor was not popular. Do you see? Today is a little easier for someone to introduce himself as a pastor. Do you get it? But back in those days, it wasn't so popular. People would laugh at you when you said that you were called. You know, I remember when I became a pastor, one day I went to pray in somebody's house. I don't know if it was a baby they had or something I went to do in somebody's house. And they had been talking to their relatives and telling them, their pastor is coming. You know, so the relatives were expecting a more substantial person. You know, maybe if I'd gone, you know, now that my belly is finally coming out, you know, maybe if I had gone there now, it would have been a lot easier. But back then, this whole place was like that. You know, yeah. And I looked more diseased than anything else. You know. And when I got there, you could see that they were not impressed. Yeah, they were not impressed. So this one relative of the person's, I mean, who couldn't hold it in, she just had to let it out. You know, so she called me aside and just asked, young man, can't you find any work to do? So you can't find any work to do? And she added, I was so embarrassed. You know, it's like you don't have anything to do. That's why you want to be a pastor. You know, you don't have anything to do. You see, so when God has given us someone who gave up his life that he could have had, which has caused us to have the church or churches that we all are enjoying today, do you see? That's a lot of good done for you, whether you asked for it or not. Because some people also have an attitude, well, I didn't ask. I've heard even about children who tell their parents, I didn't ask you to have me. You see, yeah. Now, whether you asked for the good to be done or not, it's been done. And you have benefited from it, and you have enjoyed it. Do you see what I'm saying? And once you have benefited from that good, you owe thanks, you owe gratitude, you owe honor to the person through whom the good came. Because a lot of good has to be done for you before you choose it, actually. If every good you have experienced had to wait till you could choose it, you would still be in the labor ward. You get it? Because when you're born, it is good that someone is there to catch you. Do you get it? Yes, but that person is not someone you invited to the place yourself. These are people who choose to be good to you even before they know you. Even before you know them. These are people who still choose to be there for you when they don't even know you. And they are nice to you. I hear when you're born, you need to be given a little sting like that so you can cry. And these are people who volunteer these things. Do you see? And who make you cry. So your lungs will open and, you know, it gives the lungs a kick start. And you start to cry and you start to breathe. I mean, you need someone to do that for you. Otherwise, you go right back to where you came from. Yes, that's what's going to happen to you. Do you see what I'm saying? So, such people, you can't tell them, well, I didn't ask you to be there when I was born, so I don't owe you anything. You can't say like that. You can't talk like that. You must learn to honor people that God has used to bless your life, God has used to provide for you, even before you could choose such people to do any such thing for you. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Right. So let's look at some of the honor relationships that require honor. Number one is honor the Father, and it will give life to your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Honor the Father, and it will give life to your relationship with your Heavenly Father. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. This verse says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now, saith the Lord, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Hallelujah. Right? Now, God is one person who must be honored in order for our relationship with him to thrive. See, honor is the food that relationships feed on. Relationships feed on honor. When you take honor or respect, great respect, out of relationships, those relationships tend to wither and they fall apart and they are destroyed. Do you understand? Now, God is one of those people who must be honored. Amen. Now, these people here, God was upset with them. Do you understand? God was upset with them because they were priests. And they were abusing the priesthood. They were despising God. They were despising the temple. And how they treated the people and the things did not show respect for God. Let me just show you a little bit about these people and what they were doing. Right? 1 Samuel chapter 2. These are the sons of Samuel.
Right.
And they were priests. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 27 says, "And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Verse 29, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Hallelujah. Right? So God was upset with Eli and Eli's sons. And, you know, he sent a man of God to go and tell him. You see, again, what you can see here is that God is, the basis of his honor is being formed and shown to the people. And the basis is the good that he has done for them previously. Can you see that? So he starts by recounting the good. And he says that, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? That means it goes all the way back to when you were in captivity. Do you see? And I came and I appeared plainly to your father's house, you know, and I chose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest. Do you see? Because sometimes people don't even realize that you have been chosen. You see, you have been chosen, and chosen means there are alternatives. In fact, the word choose is not a word you can use unless there's another one. Do you get it? Yes. So when someone has chosen you, whether you're chosen for a role at a workplace, a job, chosen as a spouse, chosen as whatever. Do you see, even when you go to buy things, I used to wonder, why do people say thank you after you've bought something from them? I used to wonder as a kid growing up, I was just wondering, I thought they have collected my money. you see, and I didn't understand why, you know, they would say thank you. But then you realize that when you buy something from someone, yes, they gave you something. But the thing is that money you gave to them is how they make their profit. Do you understand? And that money could have been given to somebody else. And if you had given that money to that other person, this one will simply not have that money. Not having that means not having the profit, not having an income. It means so many things. So they ought to be saying thank you. You get it? They ought to be saying thank you for taking that thing out of their shop. Otherwise, it would be sitting there, you know. Yes, and if it's food, they will have to eat it. At a point, you see the things you are selling going bad, and you have to start eating them, and you start sharing them to your children. Everybody should eat some of it, because nobody is buying it. Do you get it? So we need to be grateful, and God was showing them that, look, I chose you, your family. There were so many other families, and I chose your family to be my priest. Do you see? Yes, I did you that favor. Then he says, to burn incense upon my altar and to wear an ephod before me. Do you get it? Another person will say, that uniform is a bother. Do you see? But God was trying to show them that even for me to choose you to wear a uniform for me was an honor. It was a favor. It was a blessing. Do you see? I could have put that uniform on so many other people, but I put it on you. Then he goes on and says, I did give to thy father all the offerings made by fire. That means the sacrifices that the people made. In those days, they would come and make sacrifices, the meat. They would sacrifice animals, and then the meat of the sacrifice belongs to the priest.
Wow.
John Jack wishes he was a priest in those days. You get it? Isn't the privileges of being the priest, the meat that people would come and offer you, you can have all. He said that I gave all of that to you. So why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and you honor thy sons above me to make yourselves fat? You see, God doesn't also like it when we put our children before him. Yeah. He says, you honor, you have more respect for your children than for me. You see, because his children were misbehaving and he wouldn't address it. Do you see? He wouldn't address it. He would rather leave them to misbehave in the church. Do you see? And then rather let God suffer the inconvenience. Are you understanding me? Yes. And so that is what was God was reacting to. Then God said that because of that, he said, I said before, I told you that I was going to bless your house and you will walk before me forever. But now I've changed my mind. May God not change his mind about you. I said, may God not change his mind about you. He said, I said that you would walk before me, you and your house, you know, but now be it far from me. Why? Because those who honor me, I will honor. And those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Hallelujah. God expects to be honored, and he looks out for people who honor him. And people who do not honor him, he says that those people will be lightly esteemed. That means they themselves will not be respected much. Amen. They will not be honored much. Those who dishonor God, those who do not honor God, will not be honored much by God. God will not lift you up. God will not promote you if you don't honor him. Hallelujah. You can see that sometimes in our lives, there's no respect for God at all. Respect for God begins with respect for things that belong to God and things that pertain to God. That when something belongs to God or when his name is on something, you respect it. Do you see what I'm saying? You take something like, let's say, paying of tithe, for example. The Bible says the tithe belongs to the Lord. You know, Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. Look at that verse, Leviticus chapter 27. He says, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Can you see that? Yes. He says, all the tithe of the land, regardless of how you got it. That's what he's saying. Do you see? Whether it is the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, you know, it is the Lord's. It is the Lord's. It is the Lord's. And if it belongs to the Lord and you use it to buy your shoes or you use it to fix your hair or you use it to take a lady out on a date, how is that relationship even going to work? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. It's not a blessing. You know, and God says that people despise him. There's when you honor someone, you know, when you mention, when they say this belongs to him, you don't touch it. If you have great respect for someone, you don't touch the things that belong to him. You don't sit in his chair. You don't eat his food, you know. Take just a little something. You don't park in his parking spot, isn't it? Yeah, I'm sure those of you who work in places where there's parking, there's a place for the boss. Yeah. Once I went to a church where and I saw a parking, no parking. They said preacher's parking only. It says you park, you preach. Yeah, they have a sign there. It says preacher's parking. You park, you preach. That's it. So if you arrive there and you put your car there, the next thing you know, you are in the pulpit. You must preach on that day. But a little something that is reserved for someone just to honor him and to show respect for him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We show honor for God and we show honor to God by respecting things that pertain to him. Amen. Like when we are in his presence, the way we behave in his presence. It's one of the reasons why we dress up to go to church. Do you see? We dress up. That means you lift the dressing a little bit. Do you get it? Yeah, just to respect the fact that I'm going to the presence of God. I'm going to a place where someone I respect inhabits. I'm going to his house, God's house. It shouldn't be the same as I'm going to Walmart. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, it shouldn't be the same as I'm going to Walmart. Like, there's no time at all taking maybe to fix your face. I mean, if you were going out on a date, you're going to do your hair, do your nails, do your everything, and just make sure. And that's for a man. That you're not even sure about. Do you see? Even whether he will pay that bill, we don't even know. You better take some money with you, huh? Because I know there are some mean guys out there. They slip out to check out something on the car and they're gone. Before you know it, you're calling Uber. But for him, the time is taking to dress up and put yourself together and smell good and look good, and everything is done just to respect his presence. But God, he gets your Rastafarian self. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. And that's what he gets. No respect, no honor, no effort to show that someone important. Even the time that we spend for him. You see, even the time that we take to set a day aside just to be in church. So many people are worth our time, except God. As for God, the time for him has to be convenient. It has to be on the way. The church has to be on the way to where you are going. There's nothing like going out of your way to go worship God over there and cross all the way over here. No, it's too far. So I'll find something that's near me, something that's just on the way. Yeah, because God doesn't deserve so much time. God doesn't deserve so much effort. God doesn't deserve so much honor. And the Bible says God watches all these things. You can see even how God seemed to have a comment to make on how the person relates with his children versus how they relate with him. He said, you honor your children, your sons. They mean more to you than me. Yeah, what you would do for your sons, you will not do for me. Yeah. What you would do for your sons, you will not do for me. You would rather not incur the displeasure of your sons. You would rather incur my displeasure. People have come to the church. They've come to the temple. They are sleeping with the women. They are doing all sorts of things there. You know, and these are your sons. But if you say it, they are going to be offended. So let's keep them not offended and let's offend God. Yeah. And it happens. Let's keep them not offended and let's offend God. As for God, you know, anything goes. God is just air. He's just wind. The main thing is your heart. So it shouldn't matter how we behave in his presence. And God says, you know something? I said that I was going to make you and your family special. But not anymore. Yeah, isn't that? Where's the verse? Yes, verse 30. Where's verse 30? Wherefore, I, the Lord of Israel, saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now, the Lord saith, be it far from me. I will not do it anymore. It's the last thing I'll do. Why? Because those that honor me, I will honor. And those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. They will not be honored themselves. Those who honor me, I will honor them. So I want to encourage you to be one of those who honors God. Amen. Anytime anything has to do with God, show some respect for it. If it's the house of God, if it's a man of God, if it's going to be used for God, if it's going to be done for God, anything that has God associated with it, you know, show some respect for it. Show some honor and some dignity. Allow it to enjoy something because of your respect for the name that is attached to it. And God says, if you do that, I will also ensure that you are respected and treated in the same way. You will see that one day when your name is mentioned, some people will stand aside. Yes. One day your name is mentioned, some people will set aside your seat. They will, when they mention your name, your special place will be reserved for you because you are one of those who has honored God and God is honoring you too. Can I have an amen? Amen. Right. Now, go ahead and clap if you're clapping properly. Otherwise, number two, honor Jesus and it will give life to your relationship with him. Honor Jesus and it will give life to your relationship with him. How do we honor Jesus? Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40. That's how we honor Jesus. He says, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Can you see that? So we honor Jesus by honoring people who are sent by Jesus. Isn't it? Yes. He says, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Hallelujah. So Jesus is also very concerned about how we treat him, right? And if you honor Jesus, you will be blessed greatly. And the way to honor Jesus is to honor people that are sent by Jesus. Luke chapter 10 and verse 16 is another verse and passage that shows how Jesus responds. It says, he that heareth you, heareth me. Do you see? And then he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. Wow. So you can see that a lot of things have implications. How we treat people is very important. Because before you know it, you're dealing with someone that you didn't intend to deal with. You get it? You know, the Apostle Paul, when his name was Saul, he used to go out and maltreat Christians. He used to arrest people for worshiping and going to church, you know. He used to persecute Christians, who built a case against the Christians and would go against them, have them thrown into jail and all that. Now, one day on his journey to do one of these things, the Bible says he had an encounter in the middle of the road. He had a vision. Do you see? And in the vision, the person said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Now, when he was doing this, he thought he was probably just persecuting Christians. In fact, he thought he was working for Jesus. Do you see? He thought he was working for God. He thought he was doing something for God. As he was cleaning up the church and cleaning up, you know, religion and purging it of these unwanted elements who are just moving around in God's name and doing all sorts of things. And to his surprise, Jesus appeared and said, "Look, what you are doing is not against the individuals. You are doing it against me. It's against me. Because when I send someone to you, how you treat the person or how you respond to the person is your response to me." That is one of the reasons why we respect ambassadors. And ambassadors get to have the diplomatic plate, you know, and even the police officers don't stop them. Yeah, they don't stop them. Because the way you treat the ambassador is the way you're treating the entire country. Yes. He represents the country. So he drives his car and he has a little flag in front of it representing his country. And that's a piece of that country moving around there. Yes. And how you treat it is how you're treating the entire country. And if you don't treat them well, they'll retaliate. Commonly, you see that when countries, you know, start to quarrel, the first thing is they ask the ambassadors to leave. They give them 72 hours to just leave the country, you know, and in 72 hours, they have to pack out. And then the other country just responds. They also say, you know, your diplomats, come on, get out. So I think when you're a diplomat, you need to live in a way that you can pack out in 72 hours. Yeah, it means you can't really have a whole lot of things in your house. You have to pack out in 72 hours. Yes. Do you see? But can you see that scripture? "He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you." That means anybody who sets you aside is setting me aside. And anyone who sets me aside is setting aside the one who sent me. So we despise Jesus by despising people that he sends to us. Despising preachers. Do you see? People are sent to us. Preachers are sent to us. God sends. When God wants to help you, he's going to send someone to you. He's going to set, so, because God is not someone you can see. It's like the government. You interact with the government by interacting with a government official. That's how you interact with the government. Anytime you interact with any of these federal workers, like post office people, police officers, and so on, that's how to interact with the government. Yes. When you don't pay your taxes, it's not the government that will come after you. It's a man just like you. He could even be living in your apartment complex. And he's going to write a letter to you with his name on it. But on government paper. You get it? And that's the thing that will come after you. Amen. So, it is the men of God, the representatives of God, how we treat them is how we are treating Jesus. And if we treat them with no honor, then Jesus says we are doing it also to him, right? Then the other one is also Christians, right? When we honor Christians, we are honoring Jesus. Because he said, Matthew 25 and verse 40, he says, whatever you do to the least of the brethren, you are doing it to him. Right? Matthew 25. He says that the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Right? Yes. If you do it to one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it to me. Anything you do to a child of God, you are doing it to Jesus Christ. Amen. If you abuse a child of God, he says you are doing it to Jesus Christ. You do it to one of the least of these my brethren. Because sometimes people take advantage of people. Why? Because they are the least. Do you see? Because they are small. Because they are little. And they may not be able to say or articulate it or whatever it is that you are doing to them. They may not be able to express it. And people take advantage of it. Or sometimes it's not even about expressing anything. But they are not mentally developed or mature enough to be able to outwit you. Do you see? Or defend themselves against your cleverness. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. So you promise a young girl, I'm going to do this for you, I'm going to do this for you, I'm going to do this for you. And there's only one thing you want from her, and there's no plan to do anything. Or whatever you're claiming you're going to do for them, they don't have to pay like that with their lives. They don't have to pay like that. But you see, the mind, the person's mind. And you are pretending that you can't see that you are dealing with immaturity. You do know that you are dealing with someone who is not mature. You get it? They don't understand that their lives are worth more than ice cream. Do you get it? Like a little trip to the Chinese store, or what's the name of that place? The Thai restaurant, Saladan. Yes. Pastor Charles's place. Saladan. One trip to Saladan is worth several hours in your bed. But the person is not mature enough upstairs here to realize that it's an uneven trade. And so you take advantage of it. And Jesus said, when you do it to one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it to me. You've done it to me. Hallelujah. Amen. So we need to be careful. Say amen. Amen. Number three, honor the Holy Spirit and it will give life to your relationship with Him. Honor the Holy Spirit and it will give life to your relationship with Him. How do we honor the Holy Spirit? We honor the Holy Spirit by respecting the anointing. The Holy Spirit is the anointing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. The Holy Spirit is the anointing, and we honor Him by respecting the anointing. That means when we honor the anointing, that's one of the reasons why Galatians 6:6 has to go or be upgraded to honor your prophet. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, because there's a difference. One of them is just give something to your teacher. It becomes like school fees. Do you see? It becomes like tuition. Yes. But when you upgrade it in terms of the meaning, you see, to the more mature version, then you start to see that what you're doing is honoring the anointing. You are honoring the grace of God that is in operation on someone. Do you see? Yes. And Christ means the anointed one. And so the word antichrist is anti-anointed one. And there are a lot of people in the world today who are anti the anointed one. They are antichrists. Do you see? Yes. In fact, the Bible talks about it. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, little children, It is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Can you see that?
Yeah.
That as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. And then it says, even now, there are many Antichrists. Do you see? So right there, you can see that he's not referring to a person, just the one Antichrist that we know about. Do you see? The Antichrist that's going to come at the end time, you know, he couldn't have been around there at that time. So he couldn't be the one they are referring to and say, even now the Antichrist is there already. And also you see the second one is plural. That there are many Antichrists. There are many people who are anti the anointing and who are anti-anointed people. People who oppose anointed people. People who criticize anointed people. Especially people who make a mockery of things people do under the anointing. Do you get it? Things people do under the influence of the anointing and they mock it. They laugh at it. They laugh at preachers. They call them names. They do all sorts of things to preachers when they may be acting and doing something under the anointing. One of the things you need to do, one of the favors you need to do for yourself is to learn not to comment on things you don't understand, especially as it relates to preachers, men of God, and so on. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. If you don't understand it, just leave it. I know that some things that people do look awkward and look odd and so on, but don't make yourself that clever person who knows too much. Did I share that verse with you over wise? The verse about being overwise. Oh, I think you should look at it. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 17. Quickly, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. This one is just a small bonus, something that I was sharing the other day with the guys. I think it was in Dallas or so I was sharing with them. Do you have a verse like that? Ecclesiastes? There's no 16. Oh, Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 7. Is that 7? Or? Huh? Which one? 7, 16. Okay, not 16, 7. All right, 7, 16. Yes, look at it. Be not righteous overmuch. Neither make thyself overwise. Can you see that? For why should thou destroy thyself? Is this coming from me? That sound? Right? He says, why should you destroy yourself? You are too clever. Overwise. I mean, wise is good, but now you are overwise. It's like, you know how you tighten a bolt? And sometimes you tighten it, and you tighten it, and you tighten it, then it just gives up. It just breaks the thread, and now it becomes loose completely. You are worse. You should have taken the last squeeze like that. You get it, but you are just too much into it. Do you get it? Yes. He says, be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Overwise. Why should you destroy yourself? Then look at the next verse, 17. Verse 17 says, and be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Then it says, why shouldst thou die before thy time? Now, this is the verse that refutes the argument that if you die today, it means it was your time. No. Otherwise, you can't have a verse like this in the Bible. This verse is saying that some dying is unnecessary. It says it's before your time. Yes, so you do have a time. Yes. But he's saying that you can actually die 10 years short of the time. Yes, you can die when your little children, your children are so little But you died too early. It wasn't the plan. Maybe God intended for you to die in another 15, 20 years when your children are 35 and 40 and so on. Now look at you. You are dying at 22. Yeah. From being too clever and too wise and too wicked. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So we must be careful. If you don't understand something, don't be overwise. Don't present yourself as that one person who knows everything and who understands everything. Some things will not make sense. You just have to keep quiet. Just keep quiet. If it bothers you, don't look at it. You see what I'm saying? Yes. Learn not to look at everything. If it bothers you, if you don't get it, just put it somewhere. Do you understand? Yes. One time I was reading the Bible in the place where the Bible says Jesus made clay with spittle and he put it in somebody's eyes. And the person began to see. And I was asking myself, if I was there, what comment would I have made? You see what I'm saying? Yes. I am very sure I would have made a comment. Would you not have made a comment? First of all, you say, Jesus, where's your mask? You get it. You maskless Jesus. And now, not only are you doing, you are applying this thing directly, Jesus. Have you not heard anything about hygiene? And your name is Jesus? Jesus had controversial ways of doing things. Do you get it? Yes. Some people collect, they went to find a woman committing adultery with a man and they brought, in the act, isn't it? Yes, live. And then they brought the woman and as they were bringing her, they came along with their stones because they knew this was a done deal. They just needed someone to sign off on it. And no other person than this son of man or son of God, whatever he calls himself, he's been preaching all the time. Let him just give us the go ahead. And people were ready to stone the woman. And to their surprise, Jesus rather says, the one who hasn't done some before. The one who has not committed what this woman has done, the one who hasn't done it before, should be the first one to throw the stone. We are all here. We are waiting and watching. And everybody is quiet. What a way to let everybody know everyone is guilty. Oh, Jesus is too powerful. He let everybody know that everybody in the meeting was guilty of adultery. He said, anyone who hasn't done this before, throw the first stone. We are all waiting. Then because the situation was embarrassing, they started to leave one by one. One said, you know, I left some food on the fire. I need to go. Another one said, I don't remember if I locked my door. I got to go. I need to pick my kid from school. I need to go. And then they started to go one by one, and they all left. Then Jesus asked the woman, so where are your accusers? There's none left. Then he said, neither do I condemn you. Just go and sin no more. Now, people would not understand it. They would feel that Jesus is endorsing adultery. And they are imposing their own religious views on Jesus Christ. And they want Jesus to do what they would have done, to respond the way they would have responded. One time there was a brother who had a situation in the church, you know, between him and another lady in the church, and things didn't work out. And now the people, the lady and her friends and the family, wanted the pastor to sack the brother from the church. Yeah. They want to use the pastor. You get it? To apply judgment on the brother. Do you see? Yeah. And the pastor said to them that, but the two of you were involved in that thing and I have not sacked you. Why should I sack him? Yeah. I have not sacked you. You are still here. Why should I sack him? And that is how it is. So people like to behave like that. And there are so many things about anointed people which may look awkward to you. But learn to just keep your mouth shut. If you don't understand it, take it that you are not mature enough. You don't get it. One day you will get it. Do you understand? Instead of criticizing them, you might become an antichrist. Do you see? You might become one of the many antichrists in town. People who are not too afraid to write things about anointed people on Facebook, lambasting them, insulting them, disgracing, embarrassing them. These are all very dangerous things to do. Yes. And you better be right that the person is not called. Yeah, just you better make sure that the person is not called. Because for you to be able to do all those things, one thing ought to be true, that the person is not a man of God. Do you understand? Yes. Because there's a difference between even a man of God who has made a mistake or a man of God who's gone off is still a man of God. Do you understand? And the previous verses we read said that whatever they do to you, they do it to me. So if you are his man, whether you are his man who is gone off or not, you better be careful. You don't touch his man, is his point. Don't touch my man. He says, touch not my servants, do my prophets no harm. You can hurt the prophets of God. You get it? You can hurt the prophets of God, the men of God, you can hurt them. It says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Hallelujah. God doesn't want his prophets to be harmed by people. Don't embarrass his prophets. Don't hurt his prophets. Don't spoil the ministries of his prophets. Leave his prophets to him. Do you understand? Yes, leave his prophets to him. It has nothing to do with you. When a police officer commits a crime, it is the government that punishes him, not you. Isn't it? Yeah. Yes, you have to leave him for the government. The most you can do is to scream and intercede that the government should do something. Do you understand? Yes. So if you believe in that, then get on your knees and pray about it. But just leave that person alone. Can I have an amen? Amen. Then the next one, quickly. We are just closing, please. Right? Next one is honor your prophet. And it will give life to your relationship with your prophet. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 6 and verse 4. Mark chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And the next verse 5 says, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Can you see that? It says the prophet could not do any mighty work there because the prophet, when he came to his own house among his own people, they did not believe in him, isn't it? And he was without honor when he was with them. And because of that, he could not do any mighty work in that place. He could there do no mighty work. So it means the mighty works are place specific and place sensitive. And they are place sensitive because he is not treated the same way in every place. Do you understand? But in a place where he's honored, in a place where a prophet is honored, he is able to do mighty works in that place. Amen. Amen. He does great works. God uses him mightily in the place where the prophet is honored. And that's one of the reasons why we don't want our prophet to be a prophet without honor. Amen. In this house. Amen. And in this church. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. In our church, our prophet will always have honor. Hallelujah. Yes. In our church, our prophet will always be honored. Amen. Yes. And when we honor our prophet, if you read that book of Mark chapter 6 and read throughout the entire chapter, it's a pity that the beginning goes like this. But if you continue on reading the rest of the chapter, you see many mighty miracles. So many wonderful things that this same person is doing in other places, which this place is not experiencing, because in that place, they were questioning. Let's read a little bit. Let's start from verse 1. Mark chapter 6. Let's start from verse 1. And he went out from thence and came to his own country. Can you see that? And his disciples follow him. Then verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Then the next verse, you see, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. So you see, on one hand, they can see clearly that this is somebody unusual. They can see clearly that this is an extraordinary person. They can see that this is someone who is doing things that the regular person does not do. And they were amazed. They said they were astonished, first of all, at his preaching. Then they were surprised at the mighty works. So where did this guy get this wisdom from? Do you see? Then they quickly break him down and tear him apart and bring him down to the lowest level to make sure that he's no one special. And they say that this is the carpenter. I mean, why? The person is standing in front of you working miracles, doing wild things. Why do you want to call him carpenter? Why do you want to remind him that, listen, you are no special person. You are just the carpenter. You made a thing for me, a table for me the other day. Don't come here and start pretending you are anyone special. You are a carpenter. Do you see? Yes. So they said that they were offended at him. How dare a carpenter come talk to us like that? This carpenter turned preacher. Self-appointed preacher. He calls himself the son of God, son of man, son of something. You are a son of a carpenter. Stop going around calling yourself names and appointing yourself to places and positions that you don't belong. And so they were offended at him. And then in verse 4 says, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. He said, yeah, the people who do not respect an anointed person are the people around him. The people around him, the people of his own house. Do you understand? Yes. And we as a church must be careful that we're not guilty of this. That we have been blessed to have a great man of God, a man of God that is sought after worldwide, a great anointed person whose books and teachings are helping churches in other places, pastors, covet. Many people would like the opportunity to be associated with our pastor. Absolutely. I don't know if you got to see recently, there was something playing, I think, on Facebook or in other places. There was a preacher who was talking somewhere and was talking about how he had been helped by one of the books that prophet had written, you know. And he was just all over the place with it and telling everybody what God had done for him through the prophet. Do you understand? And there are many such testimonies. So it must be that God has something on this man and is using him. We must not be the only people who cannot see it, such that he writes books and we, the church, don't appreciate the books. Do you see what I'm saying? And this morning I heard him announce something very powerful. He said that he was going to give everybody everything he has written. Every member of his church is going to have everything he has written. He will give it to you for free. I think it's a blessing. It's a real blessing. Yes, clap your hands for that. It's a real blessing. Yeah. So we are waiting for it, where everyone will have a collection of your own collection of the books. And as for books, they are good to have. You just have them because there's a day when you open it. Yes, it's like that. There's a day when you just be just checking something and you come across something and you'll be very happy that you had this book. Do you see? So every chance you get to have a book, just have it. Hallelujah. Right? So we must honor our prophet. Say amen. Amen. The next one is honor fathers, and it will give you life. It will give life to your relationship. Right? Ephesians 2:6-3. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3, it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on earth. Amen. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, right? That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on earth. Well, this is the longevity secret. This is the longevity pill that everyone must take. This is how to live long. Hallelujah. Can you understand what I'm saying? This will prolong your life. The Bible says if you honor your father and your mother, right, it will be well with you. This is the first commandment that comes with, hey. Right? This is the first commandment that comes with a promise. Can I have an amen? Amen. And it says, what is the promise? Verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Can I have an amen? Amen? That it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. You can't argue with this. Anybody who wants to live long, do you see? It means this thing will deliver you from sickness. Do you understand? Yes. It means this verse can deliver you from the COVID virus. Yes. Honoring your father, honoring your mother, the Bible says that it comes with a promise of well-being. It guarantees welfare. It ensures that it will be well with you. There's a blessing in it. Do you understand? Yes, because anything you honor will give you what it was created to do. Do you understand? Yes, if you treat something with respect, that something serves its purpose longer. That is it. Do you get it? So let's say if after you finish using something, you put it back where you found it and you clean it up, what it would do is to keep being available for your use all the time. Do you see? Yeah. You drive your car and you park it in a good place, you cover it and so on. The car will just keep serving and doing what it must do. Do you get it? Clothes. Now imagine if you have a pair of shoes, you wear them, and when you come back, you just leave them outside in the rain. You see, what will happen is that that particular pair will not serve you a long time. Do you get it? That means you lose the purpose of that function that the thing was created to supply to your life is what you lose by dishonoring it. Do you get it? Now, mother and father, they represent two things. Mother and father represent life. They give you life. And number two, well-being. Do you understand? That's what parents do. Yeah. Yes. They give birth to you, and then they look after you. Are you getting it? Yes. And it's through that you get well-being. Everything you need is provided through that channel. Isn't it? Yes. Your mother's breast milk is food with the right nutrients coming at the right time, at the right temperature, well-balanced, and everything just from one person. It's fantastic. I don't think it's something we think much about. But when babies have breast milk, they don't miss anything. And can you imagine that it's preserved on a body? Doesn't need any electricity. It just works. Yeah. It's a fantastic something. Do you understand? Yes. And when God says, you honor this person, and what she represents or what he represents is what you will have, that it will be well with you. Sometimes it's not well with people. They don't understand it. And things are not working out. Yeah, things are not working out because the things that are working against you are strong. Do you understand? Yeah. When someone gives you life and nurtures you and looks after you, you can't look back at them and insult them and do all kinds of things and then still feel like things are going to work out. It doesn't work that way. Hallelujah. So we must honor father and mother, and it will be a blessing. Hallelujah. Then the next one is honor your pastor, and it will give life to your relationship. Right? 1 Timothy 5:17, the Bible says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine. Can you see that? Yes. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. That means twice the honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Hallelujah. And this is one of the reasons why we want to honor our pastor today. Say amen. Amen. And he's an elder who rules well. Like I said, it's not easy to have even one single church. How much more a church that grows and multiplies and becomes another church and another church and another church in another country, in another country, in another city, and just keeps going and going and going. It's a great work of leadership, and I believe it must be honored and must be respected. Amen? Amen. Then the last one is honor your husband, and it will give life to your marriage relationship. Right? Yeah. Honor your husband, and it will give life to your marriage relationship. Okay? And the example here is a lady called Vashti. Maybe some of you may not have heard about Vashti. But you can read about Vashti when you go home in the book of Esther, chapter 1. But Vashti is a woman who despised her husband. You get it? And in verse 17, the Bible says, for this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all men, all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes when it shall be reported that King Ahasuerus commanded Vashti, the queen, to be brought in before him, and she came not. So that's a woman, her husband called her to come, and she says she won't come. You get it? Yeah. That's basically the story. The husband had some visitors and he was happy and he was very proud of her. He has a beautiful wife and he wanted to show off, you know. So he invited her to come around and so people would see her and see how beautiful she is. And she said she's not coming, you know. And she publicly embarrassed him. Do you see? And so this verse we're reading is what the other people around were saying, the other people who worked in the palace, the White House staff, right? And they said, what this woman has done will be known by all the women. It's a bad example. You get it? And what will they do? They will also despise their husbands in their eyes. Do you understand? When it is reported that even the king's wife behaves like that. Do you understand? So what is not good here is the despising of someone you call husband in your eyes. Someone that you call husband, someone who has chosen you, you know, and it is just the way it is that husbands do the choosing. The Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and he chooses, he points to one and says, I like this one. Do you get it? And when someone chooses you as the one they want to spend the rest of their lives with, you don't despise them. You honor them. And when you honor them, it will give life to that relationship. Do you understand? If they will like you, they will continue to like you, they will always like you more and more and more because of the honor. Do you understand? Yes. When that does not happen, you find that something just leaves the person for you. Something just goes away, which used to be there, which inspired the choice, but which is no longer there to continue that kind of relationship. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So all of you who are blessed to be wives and those of you who are aspiring to be wives, take note of that. Amen. That in the day that you are blessed to be a wife, learn to honor your husband. Amen. Honor your husband and it will bring life to the relationship. Can I have an amen? Amen. Right. So I think our time is far gone and we have to bring the service to a close. So please stand to your feet and let's pray before we close. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? All right. Amen. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me, everybody. I'm sure in my long message today, there must be something somewhere in it for you. Something somewhere has spoken to you. God has spoken to you. Something has affected you. Something has affected the way you think. And you are praying today that God will help you to obey. God has spoken to you. It is God who has spoken to you. So I want you to pray and say, Lord, thank you for speaking to me about this, about that. Thank you, Lord, for ministering to me in this area. Thank you for the message on honoring relationships. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. As we bring the service to a close, maybe you are here or you are watching us but or listening to the podcast, but you know in your heart that you are not saved, you are not born again, I want to give you that opportunity. Jesus died for our sins, but his blood does not automatically take away our sins until we invite him to come into our lives to do so. So I want to ask you to pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive your sins, and to let his blood wash you and make you new and make you clean. So if you're here and that's the prayer on your heart, I want you to raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. If you're online, I want you to join us. If you're listening to the podcast, I want you to join us as we say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus. Say it again. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know I am a sinner.
I know I am a sinner.
And you died for my sins.
And you died for my sins.
Please come into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
And make me a child of God.
And make me a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For hearing my prayer.
For hearing my prayer.
I choose you, Jesus.
I choose you, Jesus.
As my Lord.
As my Lord.
And my Savior.
And my Savior.
Forgive me, Lord.
Forgive me, Lord.
I want to serve you.
I want to serve
the rest of my life.
The rest of my life.
Thank you for your blessing.
Thank you for your blessing.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you blessed today?
Yes.
Right.